Okay, it is approximately 8:34 Eastern Standard Time, and we are convening the Pacifica National Board Personnel Committee. I'm your chair, Teresa Allen. Our secretary, Susan Young. Susan, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Irene Adams.
Here.
Okay. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Jim Dingman.
Here.
Right. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Okay. Heather Gray. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Minerva Sanders. Minerva's here?
Yeah, I see her on. She can't unmute, perhaps.
Unmute, Minerva.
We need to hear her. Irene, would you, I'll try to call her. Susan Young here. Yes. Julie Hewitt, by the way, should be a member of the committee. I know she's sick. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Okay. And I will, so we have more, we have quorum, and I will call Minerva and see if she can get on, and I'll also call Heather.
I texted her just now because I can see that she is on. It's just she might not be able to get off mute.
Good evening, guys. No, I'm off mute. I was off mute. I had to go out and take care of something real quick, but I'm here now.
Great. Welcome. Okie doke. Madam Chair? Madam Chair?
Hey, fire tablet.
Teresa, you're muted.
Okay. Susan, would you, is Otis still on the phone?
I doubt it. What do you need?
Well, did you say earlier that you thought that the notices were not going out to Julie and Stephanie? For some reason, they had not been added.
We'll worry about that after this meeting.
If you don't mind checking on that, I'd appreciate it.
I will. Okay.
Now all I need to do is find the agenda for this meeting because I'm a little bit confused.
Teresa, if you want, I will read it.
All right, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Okay. Convene and roll call. Approve agenda. Approve May 20th, 2024 minutes. ED update, GM self-evaluation, staff directory, drug policy, employee handbook, grievance procedure, whistleblowers and DEIs, description of what constitutes an employee. Five, confirm committee members have Pacifica standard job descriptions for GM and PD. Six, confirm committee members have, it should be corrected, receipt of LSB evaluation materials from different stations. Seven, confirm the dates of the most recent GM and or PD evaluation process for the current GMs, IGMs, and PDs. Eight, review the proposed GM evaluation process drafted by the working group. Nine, discuss timing of LSB processes. 10, new business. 11, confirm next meeting. 12, adjourn. I move approval.
Okay. Is there any objection to the approval of the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Oh, thank you, Irene. Okay.
Jan Goodman to the stack. Just
yes,
point
ma'am.
Of personal privilege.
Yes,
hi. I have to leave at 6:15 Pacific, which I think is 9:15 Eastern time.
Yes.
So I just want to tell you that in advance. I won't make an announcement at the time, so it won't disrupt the meeting. But I do have to leave. I have another meeting that I have to go to.
All right. Well, thank you for calling that to our attention. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the minutes.
I believe I asked whether, is there any objection to approval of the minutes? Okay. The minutes are approved. Okay. Next item is an ED update. Go ahead, Stephanie. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, of course. Of course. So one of the things that we will be, well, I'll start again. With employee evaluations, we have evaluations that need to be done actually for all of the employees across the company. So that is one of my priorities, to make sure that every employee has a self-evaluation and that they also have evaluation done by their immediate supervisor, and that we also have a company culture evaluation as well, which just would be able to give all of us basic feedback on how employees feel about working for Pacifica. We haven't really done, to my knowledge, anything like that in quite some time. It will be just kind of an interesting look at, and it's going to be a very simple form. It's just a one page, and I'm going to actually turn it into a document that they can just do online, that will go from like strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, to strongly disagree. And some of those questions, for example, are, my company has a positive culture and values. They make good use of my skills and abilities. They offer real opportunities to improve my skills. My company provides me with the necessary resources to do my job. They value diversity. They have a high standard for business ethics. Mm-hmm. Career moves at my company are handled fairly. So it's a way to kind of get conversation going, ultimately to help encourage the employees as we move forward to actively and willingly let us know what needs to be done to help sort of just improve culture and the environment in their locations. And then this will also allow us to to easily roll out the DEI training that we need to do, and the anti-bullying training and inclusive language training, and just kind of get individuals within the organization used to the concept of, we are listening to you and we want to make sure that we give you as an employee the tools that you need to be successful in your job. So to kind of start that process, there's multiple things that are kind of happening at one time, but what we're doing is, courtesy of Otis and courtesy, and because of the FCC consent decree, Otis has created, and he created it a while ago, which is, I believe, wasn't rolled out or utilized the way it should be. But now, fortunately, we're kind of being forced to roll it out and use it, is that it is a staff directory. And what we are going to do is have every staff member, the staff members that are paid staff and the volunteer or contractual staff, such as the programmers that are volunteers that are working, is that we will get all of the information, contact information for them in this database. It will be secure, so people won't be able to go in and get other information that they need, but it will allow us to have a nice comprehensive list of all of our staff and management and programmers, email addresses for them, phone numbers as well. And the purpose of this we need a staff directory, but the main purpose right now, while we're utilizing it and rolling it out, is so we can keep track and get information out, disseminate information to all of our employees, paid and non-paid, with the FCC training that's happening. And our first training is actually happening tomorrow with our managers, and then we're going to start rolling it out two times a day for the next 3 to 4 weeks. But this way it'll allow us to have this directory where we can again disseminate information to everybody all at one time. And then we can keep track of, who's where, contact information for everybody. And not only is it helpful from a managerial standpoint, because, you know, I would love to be able to send out an email to everybody that says, you know, let's celebrate Joanne's 25th anniversary at Pacifica. But it will also then allow us to hand out information that is necessary, such as the training and, also, you know, and also any sort of information, that we need to put out. Irene just asked what the training is that's going on. We have, because of the FCC, consent decree that we signed and agreed with the FCC, we have to do compliance training that is on, how to handle the conference, what you need to say and how you handle thank you gifts, fundraising, underwriting, sponsorships, those kind of things. So we have a compliance training that is being rolled out that was created by our FCC attorney at Foster and Garvey. And tomorrow we are rolling out that training to our management staff at all of the divisions and also some, and that includes the general managers, the program directors, and then some select staff as well that can just some, we have some board ops, we have some producers that will be participating in this original training that's getting recorded, and they can give us feedback. Once that training is done, we can make any editing that is necessary. And then that is the training that will be rolled out to all employees. And we have to get all programming staff trained by the FCC, according to the FCC consent decree by July 7th, which is why we're doing multiple trainings multiple times a day for the next few weeks. So it's going to be a recorded training, and then it'll be live Q&A with John and I afterward. So hopefully that answers your question.
At a point in the past, we also have done sexual harassment training, and I think that, and I'm wondering if that is on your agenda to also do, obviously after the FCC training, but at some point in the not too distant future.
We always do annual sexual harassment prevention training. So every every station, every paid employee, and every, we're mandated to do that by the state of California, by our corporation code, and also by the FCC, and also by that we have to do, quarterly EEOC reports that we file with the FCC. So those have been going on for quite some time. And new employees, when they start, they have to go through sexual harassment prevention training within 90 days. But what we wanted, and they all take the training. We used to have a company that we paid that handled all of the training, but we don't have the funds to do that anymore. And so we have been doing that and monitoring it ourselves by using training that was provided by the state of California. And since we're incorporated in California, we use that training. And then once everybody completes that training, they have to send, once you're done with it, you get a certificate that plugs in your name. You have to take a little quiz and that kind of thing. But then the state plugs your name in the certificate, and then they send that to, they have to send a copy of that certificate to both John and myself. And then we keep that on file. And then when we file our EEOC reports on quarterly, I believe, everybody that's taken that training, we have to attach those certificates. But I personally don't think that sexual harassment prevention is enough, which is why I also then want to roll out anti-bullying and also DEI training. And part of that DEI training would also include an inclusive language manual, dictionary, you know, that kind of thing. Just something that we can try to be more inclusive with the language that we use. The ultimate goal will be then to also roll that out amongst all of our volunteers that are on committees, our LSBs and our PNBs. There have been some PNB members that have taken the sexual harassment prevention training already, and they have given that those certificates of completion to John and myself as well. And we utilize with the board members, if many of them already have a work someplace else where they have to go through this annual training, we will accept that training as well. So those certificates have been forwarded to us, and we do attach those with our trainings, with our reports, because it does, you know, we're making an effort. So as we sort of roll out these staff directories, right now we're really focusing on making sure that we have everybody that's in there so we can roll out the FCC training. But what, again, that will do in the long run is that will allow us to reach out to our employees to provide these training opportunities and to roll out and show them handbooks. I'm in the process of revamping our handbook. The handbook that I have when I was hired was a 2017 draft. So I don't have anything past that. I have spoken to some other employees over the last, quite a few today, but over the, you know, even prior to when we were working on the employee handbook to see if there were any new additions to it. There are some stations. I know, I talked with KPFA for quite some time today. And so they're sending me everything that they have. And they do have some revisions that were made to their handbook that were specific to the station. But what I want to make sure is that we have one handbook that is for the Pacifica Foundation. And then we can have, and I will base the handbook that we have that I was given of the draft from 2016 and utilize that to turn it into a permanent handbook that we can then, you know, hopefully the personnel committee down the road can continue to review that on a regular basis to make sure that we're up to date and that people are following it. And if each station needs different supplements to that handbook, then they can go ahead and create those supplements to the handbook if there's something that's specific to their station or their division, which most likely isn't because the handbook is a handbook, but they can have some sort of supplement that makes sure that I take a look at it before that's added. And so what we will do with the handbook is once we get that finished, then we'll be able to roll that out as well to all of the employees through this directory. And just like many average companies, once you get that handbook, you have to sign a piece of paper that you've read it and you've reviewed it. And then that paper gets sent back to me and the HR director, which is, I guess, me and Markeisha, so we can keep track. And then annually, we will make sure that people look at the handbook and review it. So the employee directory is going to be beneficial in multiple ways. So one of the first steps that we need to do as we roll this forward is that we obviously need to do employee evaluations. We're going to do the GM, I'll be working on and doing the GM evaluations based upon doing a self evaluation of the employees that they can do on their own. It will be very simple based upon the job description that they have. So we have generic GM descriptions and PD descriptions, which I created last year, I believe, based upon different job descriptions that had been sent to me. And again, some of those job descriptions that I received were geared toward that station. And I can understand where something like that would come into play. But we do want to have a general base for a job description. And those can be edited and reviewed as we were writing the job description for the search for the general manager at WPFW. Their search committee brought up a couple of things in the EEOC basic section of that job description that we revised. So it wasn't so limited. The way it was written was kind of limiting the job that where it made it sound like you had to be able to walk basically to have the job. And we didn't want to limit it that we were kind of the old way that the job descriptions had been written. We didn't want to limit ourselves to somebody who, you know, was in a wheelchair. So again, that's a perfect example of where the search committee reviewed it, looked at it. They called me and they said, do you think maybe we can tweak it this way, that way? And I said, yes, of course, totally inclusive. It's better for us. This is something that should have been fixed before. So by having sort of a generic company-wide Pacifica Foundation general manager description and program director job description, we can then, you know, have those on file. Now, ultimately, what I'll do is create job descriptions, and I have talked to individuals to provide me with their job description, and some of those job descriptions have turned into 10, 15, 20 pages because their job duties have expanded over the years that they've been here. But I have started with the national office in getting the job descriptions for the individuals that work with the national office. So I do have a job description for the business manager. Netta was also able to provide me with the job description that they had for that position a while ago. And then Markeisha added to it things that she had done, and we got one for Jean Amela. So, you know, people are kind of writing a lot of their own job descriptions. And the same even with the program director job descriptions. A lot of the program directors have given me kind of a breakdown as to what they do, and then make sure that we're adding those into the descriptions. So while all of that is going on, We'll also be asking the general managers to work with their staff to get a job description of a board op, to get a job description of the development director, to get a job description of their business manager, to get a job description, of a program producer, to also with internally too, to have us determine what constitutes a full-time employee, a part-time employee, and then also a volunteer employee. And I don't want to continue to use the phrase volunteer employee because that has, it has in the past created somewhat of an issue if we've had a full-time employee that serves as a volunteer programmer, that if there's a problem that occurs when the employee is acting as a volunteer programmer and they do something that is they shouldn't do on the air, or their behavior is such that it isn't conducive or would be what an employee should behave. If a file, and this is an instance, a real instance, when another employee has filed a complaint against that person for their behavior, the other person has come back and said, well, I wasn't acting as an employee, I was acting as a volunteer. So we need to make the distinction as to Our volunteers, our committee members, our board members, our cab members, people that come into the station to help answer phones, to send out, premiums. Those are our volunteers. But our volunteer employees, we need to get a name to call them something else, whether they're contracted employees, which then we run into employees that are contracted, or maybe non-paid staff. So those are one of the things that we need to kind of figure out. So that's on my list as to what we can figure out. Again, KPFA has done a great job in their union handbook to give a good definition of what a lot of those employees are. And I've been doing a lot of sitting in on meetings, and Antonio and Maria have been doing most of the work. I'm working with the union and union negotiations. So it's been very helpful to be able to see how they define, how the union defines a full-time employee, a part-time employee, an interim employee, a volunteer employee, an intern, those kind of things. So those are all things that we will need to define as we complete and finalize the employee handbook. So again, while all of that is still going on, we'll start with the GM evaluation so they can understand the process. And how we'll start with that is with the, simple meeting. I'm sure everybody on the phone has gone through self-evaluations before at their places of employment. So it's simple, but you do have to kind of take the time, to figure it out. And for many people that haven't been evaluated in many years, I want to make sure that we don't go through 40 years of employment history, but I do want to recognize and appreciate the time that someone has spent at the company and how they've seen the company change and how they've seen their job change throughout those years. I have just a very simple form and, informing the general managers that, of course I want them when they're doing their self-evaluation to be honest and to assess their performance very objectively and acknowledge areas where they've excelled, areas where they could improve. I want them to be able to highlight their achievements by listing specific achievements or projects that they've completed successfully, including details of the role they played, the challenge they faced, the outcomes, those kind of things. Identify areas for any sort of self-improvement where they can be reflective upon areas where they could grow or they could develop their skills. And this could be where it helps us then as far as what sort of training would be necessary. It could be technical skills. It could be communication skills. They may need help with, how to develop teamwork within their within their station or their division. And so then that will allow me to be able to then take a look and say, okay, this is where we need some additional training. And then I want them to be able to set their goals, achievable goals, realistic goals, and that need to be measurable and have a clear timeline. And again, for many employees at Pacifica, setting goals with the timeline and measurable outcomes isn't something that is extremely familiar to them. So we will, that will be curious to kind of see how they work on that. What we'll do is once I take a look and work through that self-evaluation with them, then we'll go ahead and I will do a manager evaluation of the employee based upon their self-evaluation, but also highlighting things that they might have missed, things they might not be seeing, which will, include, of course, the job performance, their goals and achievements, their skills and their competencies, their behavior and their attitude, any sort of professional development that they've been doing. One of the things that I definitely want to make sure that we do is set a timeline. Well, once we go back, once we have done the manager evaluation, I will sit down with them, compare the self-evaluation, the manager evaluation. We'll talk through it step by step, and we will at that point create for the employee a timeline of what it is that we want to achieve. We want to make sure that I have, you know, balanced feedback, that I have, you know, of course, the positive feedback, the constructive criticism, sort of that old sandwich approach where you have good news, bad news, good news, you know, in a stack, but you kind of do that constructive criticism. How can we help you? Let me help. You know, this is how you can help. And then you have another, you know, positive thing after that. And I want to make sure that we highlight everybody's strengths and their achievements. And then also address, of course, where improvements are necessary. One of the things when I've talked to the employees and the managers, at our monthly general manager and program director meetings, is talking about rolling out the evaluations. And we've talked about this for quite some time. And there has been a fear that they've presented to me from the employees of a very sense of negativity, is that the evaluations in many employees' minds, not just the general managers, but staff, when they brought up the fact of we're going to be rolling out evaluations, is that, oh, well, this is just an opportunity for management to fire me. So I want to make sure that as we are reaching out to the employees, and we'll do this by having, again, a positive experience with the evaluations from the general managers, who will then create a positive experience for the evaluation of the program directors, which will then trickle down to a positive experience of the evaluation of all the employees. I would imagine that one of these trainings that we will have to roll out is how to conduct an employee evaluation, because we have had some employees that have been here for many, many years that have never had an evaluation or conducted evaluation, and they've never worked for another company where they have experienced that. So I want to make sure that those individuals that are creating, that are doing an evaluation of their staff, that they know how to do it in a positive way. So they will definitely have a step-by-step guide on how to do that. And if that means that I'm sitting in on some of those evaluations, more than happy to do that. So I want to make sure that when we have the evaluations, that we are encouraging dialogue, and that the individuals that are being evaluated are open and feel comfortable enough to be able to express any challenges that they're facing. And even if those challenges are with me, I mean, that's where we have these evaluation processes. You want to make sure that they are comfortable enough to tell me you're not communicating, or I want to talk to you more, or, you know, those kind of things. And I do have an open dialogue with many employees. So that I don't fear that at all, that we won't have an open communication. And then we want to make sure that we set goals, realistic and achievable goals, that, you know, what is it? It's the SMART goals, where they're specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time bound. So we'll create those SMART goals for our staff, and we'll have the evaluation, and then we're not just going to file it away and forget about it. We want to develop an action plan for those goals. That may be additional training. It may be resources. They may need additional support. That support may be from me. That support may be from Markeisha, whatever that may be. We can provide that support that they need in order to succeed. And I want to make sure that the employees feel supported, and that we are here to make sure that we're giving our employees the tools they need to succeed. So once we have that time frame or the evaluation put into place, we want to make sure, and this is where it's going to get a little bit tricky, because we're evaluating in the middle of the fiscal year, not that we have to do an evaluation per fiscal year, but that's kind of, do we want to do it on a, if we're doing it on a calendar year, we're kind of starting, you know, obviously halfway through. So maybe we turn it into June is when we start our evaluation process. Because an annual sort of a timeline that I've followed, and I've just been sort of pulling off of notes of, you know, and other evaluations that I've done in the past at other places I've worked, is that we have usually 1 month where we do that goal setting. So they've done their self-evaluation, we've done the manager evaluation, and then we spend that time with the manager evaluation that are creating these goals. We're making sure, of course, the goals are set with our company objectives, are set with the station's objectives or the division's objectives, because we also have the archives and the affiliates, and then what activities need to be done to make sure we can meet those objectives, and then we create their plans. within a month rather than just sort of, or 2 months really within, rather than just setting that evaluation to the side and say it's done. Then I'll check in. So I check in with people and see within that first 2 months, how are you doing? What is your progress on the goals? Are there any immediate concerns that you have? Is there something that you've realized, oh, I can achieve this in a better time, and we'll adjust those goals if necessary. Move on a few months later. We're now going to do a mid-year review where we're going to do a more thorough review of the progress. Look at the activities that are happening. We're going to evaluate the performance against those mid-year goals that we set in the very beginning. We'll work on the detailed feedback. We'll identify again any sort of new training or developments that they need, and then we'll adjust the goals and the plans for the remainder of the year, because things do change very rapidly within the world of Pacifica. And I want to make sure that if we have goals set for individuals, that they're not stuck to those goals if there's some sort of significant change that's, you know, within their division. Again, we'll continue to do the check-ins. This will happen pretty much every other month to make sure that things are moving as they should be. I'll do another self-assessment in approximately 6 to 7 months that will allow the employees to reflect on their own performance and, again, just kind of focus in without me over their shoulder asking them how they're doing, to really just take a personal evaluation of, you know, personal assessment of what it is that they're doing. And then we'll start that whole process over again. We'll have another year to take a look at what they've done as we move into the next year of performance evaluations. And so then we can sit there and, you know, get on this cycle of doing this every year. So I don't know if all employees can go through that detailed of an evaluation process without the general managers and the program directors doing it first. I would like to think that they can, but as we go through the evaluation process of the general managers and then the PDs, I want to make sure that they feel comfortable enough rolling out something like this for the remainder of the staff. So hopefully with the directory, we will then be able to roll all of this out in no time.
Okay.
Jan Goodman for the stack.
Okay. Go ahead, Jan.
So I am wondering about your thoughts of evaluating the interim, for instance, general managers. And, you know, there are obviously big differences in interim general managers who are, and I just maybe considering calling people volunteer staff as opposed to volunteer employees, maybe, because that's a term that we've used, or unpaid staff, which is a term that we've used as opposed to, you know, to differentiate them from, you know, paid employees, just as a thought. But meanwhile, to focus on how we are going to evaluate unpaid general managers who are interim, who, considering the fact that they, presumably since they are interim, their terms of employment are quite different. They don't presumably have the same rights as paid employees to, you know, notice if they're being replaced by another interim person. But I just wanted your thoughts on that, because we're in a situation right now where we have a couple of interim general managers, and certainly the one in Los Angeles has been there more than a year, and an evaluation seems appropriate, at least from the point of view of some of the people on the LSB and the PNB from KPFK.
Well, this is I believe somewhat of.
Oh, and you know what? Excuse me. We're in an open stream right now. So, you know, maybe we'll save this for an executive session. That's appropriate.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan, for catching that. I'm sorry I was distracted.
But I would like to put it into the, maybe you can answer it generically. I think that there are some things that you can answer generically, and then maybe in more detail in executive session.
Yes, generically. This is, again, where we need a better description or a definition as a foundation-wide as to what constitutes an interim employee, because interim employees are technically usually considered contract employees or temporary employees, and they usually work we're asking them to work a consistent schedule. We're asking them to show up at a certain time to perform certain duties, and usually interim employees usually don't work longer than a period of 30, 60, or 90 days, whereas Pacifica does historically have a tendency to keep our interim employees on for years, and that can cause a problem. So we need to determine, I know with some of the union contracts, an interim person can only stay in an interim capacity, I believe, for its 6 months. And then after that, they need to be considered a full-time employee or a part-time employee or whatever it is that their interim role is. So we have, as an organization, need to determine how long do we keep interims, because we are asking them to work set time, set days, certain responsibilities. They have the same duties and responsibilities as an employee. So why are we keeping them in an interim role?
And so does that mean that implies to me that if we have somebody as an interim, that we need to be usually, from my experience, interims tend to be appointed without going through the whole process of sending out, job requests for applications and interviewing them and narrowing down the field, et cetera. So I guess that part of this discussion would have to be that if somebody has been an interim for even a month, that procedure perhaps should start going. If we're going to say you can't be an interim for more than X number of days, then we have to start actually seeking a permanent employee through the normal search process.
Madam Chair, right? Point of order. I think that we're moving into executive session territory.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure. I tell you what, let's.
I phrased that in a very generic way, but it's an important issue.
Point of information is.
Okay, go ahead, Darlene, with your point of information.
Are we talking about this in terms of this committee? We're having a committee meeting. Mm-hmm. Or are we doing this in terms of thinking that Stephanie can, it's quiz time for Stephanie. So,
I tell you what,
you can handle my question.
Okay, I would think that Stephanie should, this, I think Stephanie was talking about what constitutes an employee, what constitutes part-time, what constitutes interim, and I'm expecting we're gonna get something from her to deal with that. You're drafting that, correct? When do you think you will have that done?
I think I could have this done by the next meeting because a lot of the stuff has already been written.
Okay.
So it's not like anything is starting from scratch, and we should evaluate interims the same as, they should be on the same schedule as regular employees because we are asking them to perform the duties of a regular employee. WPFW, okay, for example, is conducting a search as soon as we put an interim in place. And the search committee for WPFW actually suggested individuals to take that interim role.
Okay.
So kind of what Jan has suggested is happening at some of the stations.
Okay. Jan, you might want to just put your question in writing and send it to Stephanie. And if she feels that she needs to approach us with this issue, that because it might be not just one indicator, you know, it might be a general problem that we need to deal with.
This is a general issue. These are general issues that I brought up. There's nothing specific about it to
Why don't you hear what she has to say at our next meeting in regard to this? I'm assuming she will address it, and then we can go from there. Okay?
Great.
All right. Thank you very much for your patience. Did you, Stephanie, did you deal with, did I miss it, or did you talk about drug policy?
No, I do. We have a very, in the draft HR guide that we have, there's, I think, one comment that talks about a drug-free workplace, but we really don't have, that I have seen, anyone can correct me or send it to me if I am wrong, a drug-free workplace policy. So I did receive two or three drafts of drug-free workplace policies from former employers, and I also shared with a couple of HR directors that I used to work with, a drug-free policy outline that I had written as well. And so that is one thing, again, that I want to put into the employee handbook. That would be yet one other thing that we could distribute through the staff directory that would outline a drug-free workplace policy, and that it would also have our statement, which employees could sign and return, stating that they as an employee and us as a foundation aim to ensure a safe and productive workplace for all employees.
So,
and I'd like to get to the stack here. I've had my hand up for quite a while.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. We're going to do Jim, then we'll do Darlene, and then we'll do me. I have a question. Go ahead, Jim.
And add me.
Okay. And then Susan.
Thank you.
Right. No problem.
First of all, one thing that has completely broken down over the past 20 years is the grassroots evaluation of producers. And I remember when I first came on the air in the early 90s, the CPB required us to be evaluated by, at that point, we had different department heads in New York. We had an arts director, a public affairs director. We had to submit and talk about what we were doing, and it was a sort of in-kind donation of services, but we had to do an evaluation process to get money from the CPB. I think they discontinued that. But it gets to a really thorny issue, is how do we, beyond all these things you're talking about, compliance, bully training, all that, I'm all for that stuff, but how do we evaluate the programs? Because that process has completely collapsed. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't see, someone can correct me if I'm wrong. You know, you get these program councils. I've been on a program council. They can be quite arbitrary. But when you're dealing with paid staff who are PDs, they will have in their job description, actually, the evaluation and nurturing of shows. And I don't see that happening in any significant way in the stations. I could be wrong. But it's, you know, if you only have one person dealing with 200 people or more, it's very difficult for that person to do that. So that's one problem moving forward that has to be grappled with, because that is the basis of a lot of the problems we have, that this has not happened and is essentially broken down. There's nothing going on like that at all in the stations. Yeah.
Jim. What I want her to do, I want Stephanie to answer that, and if she cannot answer it, we will take that up as a subject as at our next meeting.
Well, so let me just, before I finish, when I started, I was given a handbook. I'm talking about 92. So I know that the people in the stations must have access to the handbooks that were given out to all employees and paid and unpaid staff. These are debates that were, you know, we actually had lawsuits going on with the National Labor Relations Board in the early 90s about who's paid and who's unpaid staff. So it, you know, a lot of this is already defined, and you just have to go back and look and see what they did. We don't have to go reinvent the wheel, if you will. But the handbooks, I think they even included drug-free, but I don't know. And so we're talking about 91, 92. So anyway, hopefully they can get that kind of stuff to you when you're looking at this. Thank you.
Jim, do you think you could get a copy of that handbook for her?
I'd have to dig through a whole bunch of boxes, but I could probably do that with, you know, I certainly can't do it by next meeting, but I know I have a copy of that somewhere.
Okay. Okay. Well, Stephanie, do you want to respond to his question?
I completely agree. In that there hasn't been a consistent evaluation of programs. One of the things that I know that we had talked about recently was putting together a working group. And part of that working group would be program evaluation that would also include then program sharing. But there's been some sort of, you know, various debates as to what you evaluate a program on. I personally, and I've talked to the general managers about this as well, would hope and anticipate that what could be rolled out is that each producer would have to submit and reapply for their program hour or hours each year. Just like you do in television, and I can only speak from a television background, is that when you were pitching your show, you weren't guaranteed to be picked up the next season. You had to pitch it again. What was your storyline? What are you planning on doing? You know, how is this going to be different? What is it going to, you know, what is your target audience? What are new characters? Anything. Granted, we're not pitching, you know, fictional television, but the producers, what is it that you need for your program? What are the numbers that you're pulling in? This is the cost that it takes to run the station per hour. Are you meeting those goals? Are you meeting those goals through listener support? Are you meeting them through underwriting, sponsorship? How are you meeting those goals? Are we giving you the tools that you need to meet those goals? What topics are you thinking of covering? I know things can change based upon the news, but what topics are you covering? What guests have you booked? Are you planning on turning this into a podcast? Are you interested in turning this into a program that can be used throughout our entire network? So people have to reapply for their hour. It's not guaranteed. And by doing that, we are doing an evaluation of the program, the producer, and of the staff that's managing that program to make sure that they're doing what it is that they need to do.
Okay,
so having a sense of responsibility for the program directors, that is also their responsibility to make sure the numbers are met. Because many of the program directors kind of say it's the programmer's job to raise money and get listeners. It's not my job.
Okay, so Stephanie, we're talking about evaluating volunteer programmers.
Evaluating anyone that has a program on the air.
Okay.
And program needs to reapply for that hour.
To raise my...
Jan, you are not muted. Jan, you are broadcasting. Jan?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, bye-bye. Sorry.
Okay, so Stephanie, are we asking our program directors to do that, and are they being are we evaluating them based upon the fact that they do that?
They haven't done that. They haven't rolled it out. We have general managers, again, referring to KPFA, WBAI is attempting to do it as well, and KPFK is working on it as well. KPFA has it in a more formalized process. I know KPFT, though, has done this too, is that they break it down per hour for the program. And then, you know, I can only reference KPFA because they share with me a lot of things that they're doing, is that each programmer gets a memo that says, this is your program. This is when you're on, you know, just kind of, so we have kind of a basic reference for that. This is how much it costs per hour for your program. This is how much you're raising. And then it says, let's talk. And they'll give it a list of times to meet so we can discuss what we can do to help you increase your numbers in both listenership and in revenue. And then other people's memos say, you don't need to come meet with us. You're doing a great job. Thanks. Do you want to share what you're doing with some of the other programmers?
In order to move on from this, I'm going to ask that at our next meeting, you let us know whether you're making any headway in getting that done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go on to Darlene. Thank you, Jim.
At the end of the year, 2023, we were asked to give a report to the PMB of what we had accomplished as a committee, and did we want to make any recommendations about our work. At that time, we recommended that the personnel committee ought to be able to support the LSBs in being able to do both GM and PD evaluations as stated in the bylaws. I don't know what has happened in the last month, but why is Stephanie being, maybe Stephanie wanted to report to the governance side of the equation as to what she's doing in administrative work. But why are we doing this? And why are we doing all, there are many things, but why are we doing this? What happened? Where did the personnel committee suddenly, I don't know, did I miss that PMB meeting where we were given new responsibilities and powers? So
let me apologize if you think that we look like we're maybe micromanaging our executive director right now. I don't want that to happen. So, but I thought we were just asking general questions. I think Stephanie has already articulated that she is working on the handbook. She's working on various trainings. She's working on various surveys. She's encouraged to utilize us to edit anything if she wants us to review anything like that. She can choose who she wants to help with the edits. I guess let's move on. Thank you, Stephanie, for what you have, submitted here. And now it's Susan's turn.
Yeah, a couple things. One, respond to Darlene, the personnel committee's first and foremost responsibility is annual ED evaluation. That, I think, can be accomplished better if there is ongoing communication with the ED about how she's handling management. So these are matters that I care about evaluating her, that is she accomplishing these things? If it's helpful to her to hear back, have you thought about this? Or gee, that doesn't make sense to me. Great. But, one of the things that was on the list in the agenda was, grievance procedures, I think. And I would grievance procedures, whistleblowers, blah, blah, blah. It would be helpful to me, and I know this is something where Darlene and I are very clear, that the personnel committee is not the grievance committee, and that the personnel, whatever the personnel committees are at the local station boards, are not the grievance committees. Would you be kind, Stephanie, to describe how grievances are handled?
When employee has a grievance, they contact their immediate supervisor and often CC me. And I have been fortunate enough that over the last year and a half, that I am copied on grievances that employees may have. If a grievance is given to an immediate supervisor and it starts to move up the chain to then another supervisor, it ultimately will get to me. CCing everybody on emails is somewhat problematic in the world of Pacifica, but sometimes it's helpful because I'm added to things that maybe I wouldn't have been originally told about. But if an employee has an issue, again, they talk to their immediate supervisor. If their immediate supervisor is the one that is causing the problem, then they will contact.
Can y'all mute if you're not speaking? Oh, sorry, Susan.
Jim, please mute. Thanks.
Bye.
When we had Netta, they would contact the personnel director through Netta, who then CC me. So fortunately, again, people are sending things to me, and then we'll work on it from that point forward. What is the extent of the grievance? Is this something we can work with just a Zoom conversation that all of us are together talking about it? Is there something official that needs to be investigated, something that needs to be filed? And then I just keep track of everything for any sort of, in a spreadsheet for any sort of legal purposes.
Jim Zingman, please mute.
If the host can mute him, just mute him.
Please. He did it. He took care of it.
Thank you. Was there anything else you wanted to say, Stephanie?
No.
Okay. Darlene, did you have anything further? So Darlene's going to put her hand down. Jim, did you have anything else to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that we all know that the consent decree and the compliance training is a big, abrupt cultural shift. And I would hope going forward that while we're thinking about DEI training and harassment, I'm all for that. We also think about institutionalizing best practices in terms of fundraising with these new rules. I talked to Richard Town down there in the University of Mexico just a few days ago, and he is willing to – he actually had a FCC complaint against his station in New Mexico. He had to pay them $25,000 or $30,000. So I would like to get ideas from people who already are operating under these kind of regimens to help us transition so we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. And I would argue that one of the things we need to do in terms, again, I'm talking about the grassroots here with the producers, is we have to figure out ways to help them and support them to make the transition to fundraising in these new rules and make it as easy as we can for them, because it's a big cultural shift for a lot of people.
We are following the guidelines from our FCC attorneys. We are following the guidelines from the FCC in the consent decree on what it is that we need to do. The training that is getting rolled out is written by the FCC attorney, working in close collaboration with the FCC on what is required by FCC guidelines. The training will cover everything that we need to cover with fundraising, sponsorship, and underwriting. We also are required to have a written manual that will be released to everyone also through the staff directory that people will need to read, and they will need to sign off. There will need to be proof also that they've taken the compliance training video, that they've watched the compliance training video. Each of the pre-recorded compliance session trainings will be followed by a live Q&A with John and myself. Questions at any time can be submitted to both he or and I if they have questions regarding certain things that can and cannot be said. If we don't have the answer to it, it will be answered within 48 hours, usually is the turnaround time from our compliance attorney. We will also have examples of, we're going to give some of our pitchers within the stations that do a really good job, samples of how to pitch, how not to pitch. And then people will be able to listen to those. If people need additional work, not only like in questions, we've had multiple meetings already with programmers that have had questions and they've already started their fund drive, but they haven't gone through the training yet. And we've had John and I and our FCC attorney have, you know, an hour and a half meeting with them going over this can be said, this can't be said, this can be said. So we know it is a culture shift, but we are following the training and the guidelines as per the consent decree that can only be done by our national compliance officer and our FCC attorney.
Okay, so I would suggest
difficult.
Jim, I would suggest that maybe you go through all of this training or you meet with some of these people and get their reaction to this training.
Jim is a programmer, so he's going to have to go through the training.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've already been asking them, and I don't want to belabor it right now, but I've heard some very good tactical suggestions, which I'll share in another venue.
All right, let's go to Irene's question. Irene, did you have a question?
Yes. We're talking about grievance procedures, and some of the lines are so unclear. I just want to ask Stephanie, is there a process that she's using to hear grievances? And when in that process, does she specifically speak to the grievant person themselves? Or are we just basing our decisions, et cetera, on what the staff reports?
Who's the she that you're referring to, the general manager?
No, I didn't say a she.
I'm sorry. I thought you said grievances that she receives, and when do they reply?
That you receive.
Okay.
You're she.
Yes, we reply to the individuals that have filed the complaint or filed a grievance, and we investigate all parties that are involved in that. That may be able to be worked out just between myself and the general manager and the grieved parties. We may need to bring in outside counsel. We may need to bring in outside counsel that is outside counsel, meaning not even our own counsel. So every grievance is handled differently based upon the grievance, who's involved, and what state it's happening in. But there is investigations that are done because grievances are personnel issues.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's dealing with volunteer staff, it's still a personnel issue because they are serving as an employee, paid or non-paid, of Pacifica, and their rights are respected while an investigation process is going on. Often during these investigation processes, non-disclosure agreements have to be signed by all parties involved, particularly if there's outside counsel. We have non-disclosure agreements that we sign. We have to respect the rights of all parties involved. We have to protect all parties involved, and we have to protect Pacifica. And not always can every aspect of a personnel grievance be shared with committees and individuals not involved with the personnel aspects of the foundation.
Okay. Just let me rephrase that one second. Now, please, let me rephrase. Do you and your Pacifica folks, do you speak to the grievant independent of who the grievance is against?
During the investigation process? Yes.
Whatever the case is.
Yes, whatever the case is during that investigation process, yes, we do. And there's usually someone else that is involved in that interviewing process. So it's not just a one person. He said, she said, he said, he said, they said, they said.
Okay. Now we're going to go to Darlene, and then I'm going to say this. We've been in the meeting for an hour now, and we still have, we have a lot of things that I think we can zip through fairly quickly. So I'd like to get this last question or two done. Irene, your hand is still up. Darlene, you're finished. Your hand's down now. Okay. Okay. So no more questions. Item number 5 is just confirming everybody should have received the standard job description for the general managers and PDs that Stephanie has referenced. Okay. If you don't receive it, please text me and I'll resend it to you. Okay, item number six, I want to confirm that I also sent out evaluation materials from the different stations. I didn't receive anything from WPFW, but you should have things from, and I remind you that some of these have tabulations from past evaluations that is confidential, but you should have some kind of templates for how other stations did evaluations. As I understand it now, we have a professional, Stephanie, will be doing evaluations of the GMs and the IGMs. We will be doing evaluations by LSB members. Okay, she'll be handling staff parts of those evaluations. So some of those evaluations that you're looking at will be evaluations that were sent to staff. We will not be doing that. But you should have received some materials from different stations. Item number seven.
Hand up.
Go ahead, darling.
I got confused there. We're going to do LSB evaluations.
As I understand it, because the bylaws say that the LSB does evaluations.
Right.
We can send out an evaluation to the board members and say, what did you think of this, of, you know, how the GM is handling this? No.
The bylaws say the LSB does that.
That's right.
Okay. What I had for the last committee had offered as the expansion of the personnel committee responsibility is to have resources for mm-hmm. LSB to do their own. So yes. We have done a job that no LSB would probably know to do or had the wherewithal to do, which is mm-hmm. to gather up examples of all the stations and how they've done their most recent reviews. Okay. So that people don't go, how do we do that? What do? And we make it up out of whole cloth. We start from scratch. No, the personnel committee basically builds a library mm-hmm. that any LSB personnel committee mm-hmm. can reference to go ahead and get started on their own evaluation of the general manager. We don't do it. It's their prerogative and responsibility under the bylaws.
I'm sorry if I said it wrong. Yes, the LSB will do their evaluations and they can use any of these templates. And item number eight is a sample that the group came up with. Okay. Right.
Well, I heard you say, it sounded like you were saying we're going to do or tell the LSB how to do the review. And I just wanted to jump up and say, danger,
I'm sorry.
Danger.
Let me ask one question.
Hand down.
Do we want to ask Stephanie if she wants to leave the meeting now? Because I think we've already asked her, all of the questions. So do we want her to release her if she chooses to go?
Absolutely.
Stephanie, thank you so much for your report. And we'll let you go if you like. You can watch the swing, pet your dog.
Shall my work day be over or not?
I'll have dinner with my kids is what I'll do right now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so item number seven is confirm the dates of the most recent GM and or PD evaluation process for the current GMs, IGMs, and PDs. Does anybody want to give me any of these dates? I think that I can say for Susan, will you tell the information? Will you give us the information for KPFT? You're on mute. Or unless you're just speaking to some sort of...
I'm taking notes, and so, you know, chewing gum at the same time. I can get the specific date, but it was the first week in December 2023, and we started the process, oh, I would say probably in like August, but it took us a while to decide what our evaluation process would entail. And we got the results. We basically compiled results to present to the LSB at a very, at a special meeting. So we had the LSB that had been was serving in 2023, received the evaluation. So that's when we completed it. We think it's better to do it earlier in the year.
Okay.
Have a PD, and we haven't had one for a long time, so we have no PD evaluation.
And we're starting our evaluation process now, and we anticipate it will be finished by December of this year.
We haven't decided that, but probably earlier than December, so that the current LSB will be in a position to receive the report, and so we can have more conversations back and forth with the GM, IGM, than we were able to have last year.
Okay. The KPFA, Darlene, do you want to answer that question? And you're muted. You're muted. Darlene. Oh. Darlene. Okay. Let's go to, is Jan, I'll stand.
Okay.
Jan.
I'm on a different screen when I'm looking at the agenda or the emails than this. So sorry. Okay. I couldn't get back fast enough. KPFA did its last general manager evaluation in 2020. It was a disaster, and really when it crumbled and burned at the end of the process, it was not even counted as having completed the general manager's evaluation. We've not had a program director separate from the general manager since the early 2010s, and so we don't even have that material to find and present.
Do you have a committee to, do you have a personnel?
No. Nope.
Okay. All right. So one of the individual board members would have to say, okay, oh, let's evaluate.
The LSB would have to agree that we were going to do our mandated by the bylaws responsibility. Okay. And that has not happened since 2020.
Okay. Well, Jan is not here, so that's my bad. I will try to get that information from her and send that out and include that when we send out the minutes. Anybody from Jim Dingman, did you want to give us information about WBAI?
Yeah, we elected the people who are going to be on the Management Evaluation Committee, and we're going to have a meeting pretty soon about it.
Okay.
So we already completed the election process.
When's the last time you did an evaluation?
Last year. I sent it to you guys.
Yeah,
Somebody included it in the evaluation. Now, one of the issues raised was the question of metrics. Susan raised that to me. And that's an interesting question, because I would also say that metrics have been essentially, as we all know, highly, highly controversial within the network for the past 25 years. My feeling is they should be part of the evaluation process, but that's an interesting question. How do we introduce metrics, and how do we agree upon them? Because people, of course, get angry if you're only evaluating the performance based on shows, how much money they're making, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, that whole can of worms. But that's an important issue to debate and think through. So anyway, that we're starting the process now.
All right. And so what month did you approximately finish your evaluation last year?
Oh, I forget. I wasn't on the committee. I forget it. It happened. I don't know the exact date. I could get back to you. I think it was in the fall of last year. I forget, to be honest with you.
When do you think it will be done this year?
We're going to try to get it done in the next couple of months. I mean, it should be done by the fall before the election process is finished by the new election process we're in. We're going to try to get it done as fast as possible.
Okay, I'll put October 24th approximately.
Don't hold me to it, but you could put that down. Michael D.D. White would be the one more knowledgeable about when he wants to get it all done with.
Okay. WPFW, Minerva or Irene, do you want to – when do you think you did the last evaluation of your GM?
The last evaluation was done in 2023. There were issues with that evaluation. One is – there was a question as to the period of performance for the PD. She was out most of the year, and then she came on when she came back and they only wanted to evaluate her on the period that she was there.
I'm letting you know
what happened.
Yeah, but so I don't want
the GM, but they tailored the GM evaluation. Okay, what do you want to know? What do you want to know?
Did you evaluate you said you evaluated your general manager in 2023?
General manager and the PD.
Okay. And then are you anticipating when you might do your next evaluation? Of the GM?
It's ongoing. It should be ongoing now.
Okay.
But you had a question. I saw in the email there was an issue with, there was a question, there was a problem with the period of performance for the PD. And it was incorrect. It said that she was out sick most of this year. That's not true.
Okay. All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Let me just remind you that WPFW has an IGM who's only been in place for a short period of time, and they've posted for a GM. Mm-hmm. So the timing may end up being that there is a 5-month evaluation of the GM who is hired in a permanent position.
But right now, we don't even know when they're going to hire, so...
No, but they've already posted. They have posted.
Right, but they could get candidates and not hire. No.
Understood, but the IGM has only been in place for a couple of months.
Right, so their
timing needs to depend upon how long someone is in place.
Right, I got it. Okay, now I would like to go to item number 8, and I would like, because of this... Yes.
You've got a hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. This is Minerva. Now, the question that I want to ask is if we, should we be evaluating an IGM that's only been in the position for a short time? No. I'm agreeing with the other. I don't think we have enough data to do something like that. So we would only be looking at a PD evaluation.
I'm sorry. I'm asking you when you anticipated you might start this, your LSB might start this. I was not implying that you had to do this. I was just asking the answer. Okay.
Thank you. I just asked that question. Thank you.
Thanks for clarifying that question because I didn't understand it.
I'm sorry. Okay. We had a working group that developed a sample GM evaluation process. I would like to suggest that you just read it, and maybe we'll discuss it at our next meeting. Also at the bottom of it is a sample self-evaluation for LSB members, which I think is a healthy thing. And you can get those self-evaluations in any number of places. Compass is one of them, right? Any number of nonprofits that help or give assistance to boards have sample self-evaluations. So I'd like you to look at that and we'll discuss it. And you might say, no, we would do our own evaluation, or hey, this is useful, or I would add this. That's what we can discuss at our next meeting. Okay. The next item was discuss the timing of LSB processes. And Susan, it's been so long, I've forgotten why I even put this on the agenda. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think you've actually already covered it.
Okay.
Because what you did is you lumped that together with when did you last conduct one. And okay. Let me tell you that in the updated version, the corrected version of the, suggested GM review process, taking into account feedback from our own management selection and review committee, I deleted the LSB self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to forward that to everybody in the committee for their consideration. But I think looking for best practices from places like GuideStar or wherever else would be very helpful.
Okay, great. GuideStar. All right.
Can I add something to this?
Let me ask you this. Have any of you self-evaluated your LSBs? Have you done a self-evaluation? Okay. I think it might be humbling and empowering at the same time. All right. Any new business?
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah. One thing that is going to be also important in turning the foundation around is that particularly for directors, because they have legally fiscal responsibility for the network, there has to be some minimization of civil war about how to actually evaluate IGMs or GMs or PDs. And that's where the absence of Nielsen ratings is very difficult, because they, of course, can be weaponized. People should know that when we get information from a radio research radio corporation, that information is considered proprietary and that cannot be distributed massively sent around. Okay. That's a proviso we make when we get the information from RRC. But people tend to discard that. And that, of course, is one of my big bugaboos, because that's where we have a serious structural weakness. There's lack of knowledge on the part of members of the PNB, LSBs, et cetera, to how to integrate the evaluation of the audience data inside the Nielsen ratings in terms of how we evaluate general managers. Because if we were using that information, boy, there would have been some sacking and alteration of jobs 15, 20 years ago. So I'm just saying that that's something to keep in mind going forward, that we have to pay attention to that now, because that does have a bearing on our ability to fiscally survive. And I hope that going forward, people can be a little more objective about using that information.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. In fact, maybe we can, let's talk about that. Maybe we can somehow address this briefly in our next meeting. The next item is confirming our next meeting. The question is,
can we clarify what that place was? GuideStar?
Is it GuideStar.org, Susan? I think if you Googled, nonprofit board self-evaluation,
okay,
you would find several things.
Okay.
And
a charity rating service as well as board support, that sort of thing. So
charity rating service?
They're a charity rating service.
Got it. Thank you, Darlene.
So they want to help you improve your board if all possible. Okay. So the question is, do we want to have a meeting on the 17th of June, or do we want to wait?
July. Sorry. Never mind. I'll be quiet.
Okay. I would like people to maybe schedule. I would like to schedule the next meeting on the 1st of July. Would that be okay, everybody?
1st of July is July 4th weekend?
July 4th is on a Thursday.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't like you if you scheduled a meeting then, because either I'm going vacation before or after.
The finance committee meeting is on the 8th, but we could go for 7:30 on July the 8th, if that's okay. July the 8th, everybody? 7:30?
Actually, for the 8th.
Super duper. Okay. Does anybody want to move to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. We are now adjourned. It's 8:58 p.m., which is 9:58 Eastern.